So today, I would like to suggest as a practice, the practice of what is called mudita, M-U-D-I-T-A, and it can be translated as appreciative joy or altruistic joy. So on one level, it is appreciating what we have, what we experience, our good quality, appreciating other people's good quality, but it's also altruistic joy, sharing joy with others. So the way this practice works is the same as with the loving kindness that you might be more familiar with, the metta meditation. And so generally the way this works is that you have sentences and then you repeat the sentences inwardly. And so we can see the sentences in different ways. You can see them as an anchoring device, because if you recite silently the sentences, in a way it's a very occupying way, but with beneficial intention. So it gives you an anchor, and also it gives you a direction. And also I feel it's part of the exploring, because it's often this sentence can challenge a little against certain habits, certain patterns we might have about ourselves, we might have about others. So you have different traditional phrases, but I would suggest certain phrases I created because I feel they can be a good way to practice. And so I'm going to say them, I'm going to explain them. But if you look on the board, on a green piece of paper, you have them in English, and then kindly Payo tried to put them into Finnish. Though we often have a difficulty with translation. Do the word in English, when it's translated in Finnish, mean the same thing or not? I know that when I teach this method and people speak German, then they have trouble with the verb rejoicing. In German, it doesn't work. So you have to find something else. So hopefully, Payod found a way to make things correspond and make sense to you. So the way I've constructed the sentences is that you have three verbs, and then you have three objects. And then with those, you also have certain pronouns. So the verbs are appreciate, to appreciate, to rejoice. If you have the corresponding word in Finnish, to rejoice means to enjoy. So it's very connected to joy. And to be grateful. So that's the verb. And then in terms of the object, you have different objects. And that's why I think during the day we can explore in a way with the object. Like for the first sentence, I would recommend appreciating efforts. And then you can add, to give you a little more multi-choice, appreciating my effort. Or if you want to look a little at the not selfing, you could say appreciating this effort. So it makes it a little less personal. And then generally we move from ourselves to others, and then it's appreciating your efforts. And so here, why do I put so much emphasis on effort? So at the beginning, I really wanted to point out that trying to do the meditation, cultivating effort in the meditation, I was suggesting a certain type of effort. If we could cultivate a kind, soft, gentle effort. But a kind, soft, gentle effort doesn't mean there is no effort. This, I think, we have to really look at that. Because if I say to you, relaxed effort, it's still an effort. So there is still the doing of something. So when there is a notion of effort, there is a notion of action. There is a notion, I do something. And so at the beginning, I was more looking at how do we do it? And here, with this practice, I want to look at what is our relationship to effort in general. And in a way, through this sentence, appreciating my effort, appreciating this effort, appreciating your effort, challenging a little the way we look at effort. Because generally, we mix together effort and the effect of that effort. So if I put in effort, so I try something like here, you're trying to be anchored, you're trying to be aware of the breath, you're trying to be aware of the body, you're trying to be aware of the feeling tone. So you are putting in effort. Even if it's kind effort, still you're trying to do something. But then, if you don't experience the effect you think your effort was trying to accomplish, what do you think? Generally, you think, I did not try hard enough, or my effort were not the good effort. Because generally, we think we have put in effort if we have the effect. If we don't have the effect, there is no effort. And I'm trying to dissolve that connection. Of course, when we try something, we want to have a certain effect, of course. But this will be depending on many different things. You could try really hard with really good intention, and you might get only a small effect. Or you might try just a little bit, and you could have a big effect. It depends. And so by this sentence, appreciating my effort, appreciating this effort, I want you to be more aware, to appreciate more that I am trying right now to the best of my ability considering the condition, regardless of the effect. Of course, if you have a bad effect, then you might want to kind of, you know, try to have a different type of effort. But I think the idea of this sentence is to really, can I appreciate now that I'm doing the best I can, considering the situation. And so that not just now, but in our daily life, can we appreciate our effort? Not necessarily totally connected to the effect they might have, but connected to our intention that we try the best we can. And then the way this meditation works, it's toward yourself, so appreciating my effort. Then you can play a little. And I don't know if it works in Finnish, because I don't know how the pronoun work in Finnish with my and this. I have no idea if it works or not. In English, it does. And in a way, appreciating this effort. Here you have two aspects with that. It's a little less personal, because if we make it personal, that it must be even have a better effect. It's my effort, I must have a good effect. But if you say this effort, I'll try this, then it's more present that right now I'm trying something. And secondly, I am not so grasping at the effect of it. I am not grasping at the effort either. I just do it. I just try it again to the best of my ability. So appreciating this effort right now. And then the idea is to move. So then you move through categories. And this is in a way the advantage of this practice of loving kindness, compassion, rejoicing, equanimity. The first three especially is actually we try through the meditation to also be aware of others. So the meditation is not just focused on ourselves, but it can also open to other people, to other life forms. So the way it goes generally is you then go to people in this room. So you don't take them each, you don't like each of them like that. But you sit here, your eyes half closed or closed, and then you bring people to mind, either their name, either their face. And then you say the sentences to both them, appreciating your effort, rejoicing in your wisdom, being grateful for your existence. And then, so you go do the sentences for a few people, and then you go outside. You expand again to things that are alive outside, the animal, the tree, the people, and again, you recite the sentences toward them. And then you can go to the category of the people you like, who support you, and then you can go to the category of people you feel a little indifferent, neutral toward, and then you go to the category of people you have a little difficulty with, but not a lot. So that category of people you have some difficulty with, be careful. This is a kind of a little difficult category, because when there is some unpleasant connection with somebody, we can easily, in a way, amplify. And that's why don't choose the person you have the most difficulty with, just the one that you have the least, and try to bring them in your mind and to appreciate their effort. So when you say appreciating your effort to the different category, here again is to see that, again, everybody generally is trying the best they can within the condition they have. Because again, if we associate the effort with the effect, then often what you will say is, you tried, you did not have the effect, you did not try hard enough. That's one thing we often say. Or another thing we say is, I try and it works. You try, it doesn't work. What's the matter with you? The matter might be that we are different. We are different conditioned. And so we have to be a little careful of this assumption, because I can do it, you can do it too. I mean, not necessarily. And that's why we have to be very careful to think that it's only a question of effort, that if people tried harder, it would work. It's just each of us have different reserve of energy, of capacity at any given time. So sometimes what would be for me very easy could be very extremely difficult for somebody else. And I think this is something we also have to see in terms of people who might be depressed. Because if you are depressed, you don't have much energy. And so to do anything is like Herculean. It's like so difficult. And so something which would be so easy for us to get out of bed, you get up, you don't, it's not even an effort. For somebody who feels depressed, it might be so difficult just to get up. And then that's why you have to be very careful to not say to people who are depressed, try harder. They already try the hardest they can. So in a way, this sentence is to appreciate the effort people put in. They generally try the best they can within the condition. Then the next sentence is rejoicing. And then here you have like three possibilities or even more. Rejoicing in your happiness. Rejoicing in my happiness. Rejoicing in this happiness. Rejoicing in my wisdom. In this wisdom. In your wisdom. And then the last one, and this is, I know it can be triggering, so you don't need to use it, but it can be interesting to play with it. Rejoicing in my success, generally no problem. Rejoicing in this success, it's okay. Rejoicing in your success, No way. And this is strange, you know? Like, you know, you, I don't know, if you are on Facebook or Instagram and you look at, you know, woo, he's got 10 likes. He's more than me. Why? The photo is not so good. You know? So it's interesting. It's funny because same with happiness. Ooh, he seemed too happy, you know? It's like if the person has lots of happiness or the person has lots of success, they're taking something from you. Because there is only that much of happiness or that much of success. So if they take a quarter, then you don't get it. But it is not so. Can we rejoice in the happiness of others? Can we rejoice in the wisdom, in the success of others? And here also looking at success in many different ways. It could just be success in being able to sit here. It could be success in being a kind person, in being a good cook, making a wonderful meal. So in a way to see how success is so associated with fame, when here we're talking of success in terms of accomplishment. And so rejoicing in my happiness is also recognizing that I too can be happy. You too can be happy. So I think what is important with mudita is actually how awareness comes to the good thing in our life. So the practice is not to just to be aware of difficult things, but the practice is as much to be aware of the good quality. So rejoicing in my wisdom, in my understanding. I too can have wisdom. I too can have understanding. And so in a way, recognizing it, making it our own. The wisdom is not only in books. The wisdom is not only in people who have practiced a lot. All of us can have some wisdom. All of us can have some understanding. And then, with that one too, I think it's a good practice to actually, we have this weird tendency that if somebody comes with a good news, somebody comes and say to you, I have this wonderful piece of good news and this happened to me and this is so wonderful and I'm so happy about this. And what do? You say, well, you don't know. You know, this might happen, that might happen. Be careful. And so they came so happy and then they are, whoops. You puncture it. Why do we do this? Once I did this many years ago to a friend. She came with such good piece of news. And I said, what about this? What about that? And then she says to me, why are you doing this? And I thought, why am I doing this? I mean, what's the point? She's happy now. Why should I frighten her in advance? Something that has not happened yet. So in a way, can we rejoice with others? To me, this is actually a practice of rejoicing with others, rejoicing with their happiness now. It's harmless. Can we rejoice with them and not worry in advance? What will happen later will happen later. Can we rejoice now with them? Which also increase our happiness if we can share it with them. And then the last sentence is being grateful for my existence, for this existence, for your existence. And here it's a little kind of recognizing that life is a mystery. Why we're alive? We don't know. You can have lots of theories in many different ways. But I think, to me, this brings back to what Gandhi used to say, that we don't know why we're alive, but we are alive. We have a breath. We have a potential. And what can we do with that potential? The breath, this body, the world give us. And so in a way, it's kind of, in a way, being grateful for this existence. But then, of course, it's true. If things are difficult, it is difficult to be grateful for this existence. And that's why you can also be grateful for your potential. You cannot be grateful for your existence. And also, when we come to the difficult people category, often you cannot be grateful for their existence, but at least you can be grateful for their potential. So in a way, with these sentences, is this verb, kind of trying to play with them, to see how part of the practice is also about resonance. It's about direction, in that it brings us in the direction of appreciation, gratitude, joy. It's also about trying to resonate with these words. How do these words resonate within me? So it's a little also of that. And so when you do the practice, I would recommend three ways actually to do the practice. One way, you can just repeat the sentences silently, inwardly, appreciating my efforts, rejoicing in this happiness, being grateful for this existence, appreciating your efforts, rejoicing in your wisdom, being grateful for your potential. So you just can recite silently, inwardly, the sentences. And at that level, it's very efficacious in terms of concentration. If you want to anchor, if you want to focus, to repeat the sentences will be very useful. And that's what often they use as a means to bring a pleasant feeling tone and also to bring a focused mind. So one can use it in that way. For some people, to recite sentences feels very artificial. To use words as you sit in meditation, for some people, it doesn't work. And then what you can do is actually connect to the experience. And so then it's more kind of, you bring more the mindfulness in it. And it's, what is it I can appreciate right now? What is it I can rejoice in right now? What is it I can be grateful for right now? And then just try to be with that gratitude, or what is it you can appreciate? Not 100%, but is there a little something I can appreciate now? A little something I can rejoice in? And really experiencing it. A little something I can be grateful for. So trying to connect the world in a way to the experience. Or we can connect to the qualities. And then it's more like, when I appreciate something, how does it feel? So here it's really connected in a way with the pleasant feeling tone. The fact that when we appreciate something, then generally there is a little lifting effect. That's what is interesting with the pleasant feeling tone, is that there is a little lightening effect, a little kind of uplifting. So just like looking more at the resonance, when I appreciate something, how does it feel? And being with that quality in the experience. When I rejoice, when I feel joy, how does it feel? So in a way, also recognizing that we too can experience this quality. And when we experience them, there can be that lifting effect of the pleasant feeling tone. When I feel grateful, how does it feel? So again, connecting to the quality itself. So this is a three way. So you have the whole day, and then you can try with the sentences, or you can try with the experience, or you can try connecting to the quality and see which one seems to correspond more to me. Because there is no special way to do this practice, but there is, in whatever way, we can find a way to use it. And then if you think it's too complicated, if you feel you can't remember the verb or the pronoun or the object, it's also very important that you can always come back to being mindful of the breath or mindful of the body or mindful of the sound. So to me, these different methods are complementary. So you could just do the breath, actually, just be mindful of the breath, and within that mindfulness of the breath, just appreciate, oh, I am breathing now. Or if you were doing the mindfulness of the body, just being aware, oh, I am aware of my body. I have a body, which works. Appreciating I have a body right now. Or listening, if we do mindfulness of listening, just bringing also a little quality of appreciating, oh, I can listen. And then when we do the walking meditation and we see things, appreciating, oh, I can see things. So in a way, we can do it in a traditional way, or we can bring that focus in another way in the mindfulness practice, so to see that this is complementary. And so in a way, to see the day-to-day with the theme of appreciative joy, altruistic joy, rejoicing with others, but also seeing that you can play with it, you can explore it in different ways. So, is this relatively clear? Shall we do it? Yes.